Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
And good morning to you. It's Wendy Snyder in for Bob Surratt this morning. He'll be back on Wednesday. In the meantime, welcome to Wendy's Hypochondriac Corner. That's what we're calling this. Not Dr. Hafiz likes that. Dr. Irfan Hafiz joins us, Chief Medical Officer, Northwest Region of Northwestern Medicine. Good morning to you, Dr. Hafiz.
Good morning. How are you?
Actually, we won't call it Wendy's Hypochondriac Corner, but we will keep you up to date on some health news going on. Let's start with CBD. I saw this story in the news that CBD may have potential protective benefits against ultraviolet radiation, so it could be helpful to prevent skin cancer?
Yeah, so this was an interesting study that was published. Now, there was only 19 participants in this study. It was a very, very small study. And they just looked at, people, participants with various skin tones, and we did apply CBD, and it was there some benefit to preventing some UV exposure. And there appears to be so in this particular very small study again. Therefore, we can extrapolate that if it can reduce UV exposure, maybe there's some skin cancer benefits. I think it's really preliminary to say so, but it's an interesting study.
That is pretty interesting. I know that, I'm a little bit on the other side of 40, maybe 52. And I noticed that people my age are having problems with skin cancer because we did not use sunscreen. I used to lay out in the backyard with baby oil all over me.
Yep, and that was pretty common back then.
Yeah.
In fact, they used to tout the benefits of more sun exposure.
Yeah, that's true. You got to get your vitamin D in. But so a lot of you got to go get your moles checked. I know, you really do. And the earlier you get it, melanoma is deadly. But if caught early, can't they do things for you?
Yeah, absolutely. And therefore, really, making sure that you're using adequately protecting sunscreen and stuff. I know we have seen a lot on social media about not using sunscreen and that it's absolutely not true. It is really important to do so. The risks of skin cancer far outweigh any other risks from the sunscreen itself.
Okay, and some other news that I found interesting. If you eat organic food, that's awesome. If you don't, we're all being exposed to pesticides. And now environmental pesticide exposure could be just as damaging as smoking.
Yeah, this was another interesting study that really they looked at overall pesticide usage and some cancer risks and stuff in the community, and they did find some correlation there. Now, again, I want to use the word correlation and not causation. They're not saying by any means that the pesticides caused all of the cancers there. I think it's really interesting, though, further that we need to further define, are certain subpopulations more at risk than others? You would think that people who live in rural communities have more exposure than those who live in urban communities. So therefore, you would expect to see a difference in the rates. And that is not clear from this study right now.
I'm sorry, but too many cancer stories in the news. I have a friend who died from melanoma. I have a dear cousin of mine who died from ovarian cancer, and I saw this in the news as well. Women who suffer from endometriosis have a higher risk of ovarian cancer. This was interesting to me.
Yeah, I think we've known this for a little bit of time that, women who do have endometriosis, there is some higher risk of cancer there. Again, it's likely due to some of the chronic inflammation that's being caused by the endometriosis itself. Do consult your doctor, of course, if you do have endometriosis. And the one problem with ovarian cancer, though, it's really hard to detect early. There isn't like a skin test or a blood test or the kind of scans that pick up on that on a routine basis early enough. So it is an area of interest to see what other factors are out there to help reduce that risk.
Yeah, we all hate cancer. It's just too prevalent these days. How about some good news? If you get a shingles vaccine, it may be a benefit to not getting shingles, but it may have another benefit as well.
Yeah, so we definitely have seen a reduction in not just shingles, but also the pain associated with shingles, even if you were to get it by getting the vaccine. So it's definitely recommended, for those over 55 years of age and all. What this study also found was that there seems to be a lower risk of dementia in those who had received the shingle. Now, it seems to be a small amount of reduction, but there was some, and it was tending towards some significance there. And so therefore, there is some thought that, maybe that herpes shingles virus may have played an additional role. We're not by any means saying it's the cause of dementia, but it may play a role in that.
I had shingles once, and it started with like a tiny little itching rash where a tramp stamp tattoo would be. And I went to my doctor, and he said, yeah, it looks, and weirdly enough, I had like a pain in my abdomen prior to that. So I went to my doctor, and he said, yes, that was your lymph nodes trying to fight it off. He prescribed some medication, and it honestly did not get bad, thank God. So if you do get treated early, you can prevent some of the terrible pain that I've heard people had. I had such a mild case of it.
Absolutely. Early intervention, the drugs work really well if you identify and treat early.
Can you get it again? Because I know it comes from the chicken pox virus, correct?
Correct. So, when we've had chicken pox as children, that virus can wake up again later in life and can cause shingles. So, yes, given the circumstances, the shingles can come back again. Certain people with certain medical conditions can get it very frequently, and that can be a very debilitating problem there. And therefore, and hence, trying to get childhood chickenpox vaccines avoids the risk of shingles later on. But if you've had chickenpox, getting the shingles vaccine will also reduce that. We're trying at every step to intervene to reduce some of that.
Interesting. Wendy's Hypochondriac Corner, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. And Dr. Irfan Hafiz, I'm going to have to get your home number and call you every day with various stories. We're going to take a quick break and come back and talk more, give you some more health news. We are talking to Dr. Irfan Hafiz, Chief Medical Officer, Northwest Region of Northwestern Medicine. And, COVID has struck at the Olympics. There are a lot of people there. I have neighbors who were in Europe and came home, and they got COVID. It's still around. COVID or a cold, how do we know the difference, and does it really matter?
All these coronaviruses are part of, this generic term of cold viruses. What we did see with COVID-19 is that it is a sub part of that. We've seen it to be more severe. We've seen more complications. All of us are now aware of that, which takes it beyond just what a cold is. We have seen a bit of a spike through, early July-ish or so in the community. And it does start out like a cold, but a more severe cold, shaking, chills, shivering, coughing there as well. And what we have seen, though, is it starts off pretty severe, but we're not seeing a lot of hospitalizations like we did back in 2020 or 2021. So that is for really good news. We're not seeing that. Plus, what we're also seeing is a shorter duration of illness, not this going on for a week of fever, but it's more like 3-4 days-ish or so. But you can feel pretty miserable during that time still. So COVID is still around.
I got in the last day that the government was issuing free COVID tests. So I have a couple in stock. But if people have to pay for a COVID test, my assumption is they're not going to. So if you come down with what you think is a cold and you're not going to test, should you stay home from work? Should you just put a mask on? What is your opinion on this?
So the recommendations have changed quite a bit, since the early days, especially back then we didn't have vaccines and now we do for this. So I think for the most part right now is if you are sick, yes, if you can test first, yes, test, because then you can protect your family and keep others from getting sick, because otherwise it's going to go around the house. If you choose not to test, then, do still isolate yourself at home. Don't go to work while you're still having the fever and chills. Once the fever has stopped for 24 hours without any Tylenol or Advil, then yes, then you can start to resume normal activities. If you're still coughing, it's probably a good idea to put a mask on, just to, again, just to try to protect others.
Okay, and I saw in the news that bird flu has kind of leapt from birds to dairy cattle. Is this something we should be concerned with about eating eggs or beef?
No, with regards to the food, definitely no concerns there. I think what this is really talking about is birds do have their own variation of flus. For the most part, they do stay within birds. They can go between wild birds and chickens and so on. But farmers do have to take precaution by sometimes euthanizing some of the chickens and stuff. But what we do monitor, though, is sometimes these viruses mutate and can jump to different species. In this case, they are seeing some transmission to cattle, and if it can transmit to cattle, there's potential transmission to humans. And some flus can come from cattle and birds and other species in humans. So it's really trying to make sure that we watch that. No concerns about the food.
All right, that's good to know. And finally, just when I'm thinking about getting my third tattoo, I saw in the news that bacteria has been found in sealed tattoo ink bottles, and not only for people getting artwork on their body, but also like eyeliner and makeup type of tattoos, permanent makeup. How do we know we're getting safe ink?
Yeah, this is something we've known for some time, and this is where, you know, having a certified, well-trained tattoo artist is really, really important, that they're maintaining sterile technique and they are using the best quality materials there. Because even, as you said, and sometimes what they found, they said, even in sealed bottles, that they are able to find some bacteria, and you can see reactions and you can see tattoos that just don't heal. And they may require medical treatment, sometimes just topical, but sometimes other antibiotics are necessary. So make sure you're going to somebody who's reputable and has a great track record on tattoos.
Yeah, and don't give yourself one. You don't need an X-Acto knife and some ink in a bottle. That's not a good way to do it. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate this. I am a bit of a hypochondriac. Somebody called this morning and said, turning this off, too much cancer talk, not a way to wake up. Some of it was good news that we talked about this morning.
It is. It is. And I think, you know, the studies that are out there that are published is not just to scare people, but it is really just to wear awareness that the science is moving forward and we are continuing to understand and there are better treatments and better ways to deal with this to come.
Thank God for science. That's all I have to say. Thank you, doctor. It was a pleasure speaking to you. I'll miss you.
Take care.
Dr. Irfan Hafiz, Chief Medical Officer of Northwestern Region, Northwestern Medicine, and yeah, I enjoy it.